everybody. Welcome to the show, Two Guys Talking About Learning Japanese. How's it going, Nick?
It's going well. How are you?
Pretty good. I heard you had some new strategies for studying. You want to tell us about that?
Yes, I do. On the weekend, I discovered a website called Lang8. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I heard of that.
Yeah, so I went on to Lang8 and I signed up for it, and then it's one of these things just like Anki where I guess you can get out of it what you put in. And so I put in some work and I corrected some people's English, earned myself some points, some L points as they're called, and then the next day or that night I wrote a quick little thing, and then I submitted it the next day. And yeah, the corrections pretty much just came flooding in. There was about five or six of them within 40 minutes or so. It was,
what,
I was expecting.
What did you write?
I wrote a little thing about a lion and a rabbit. So basically the lion was, no, sorry, it was a tiger. It was a tiger. The tiger was sort of walking through a jungle, and then a rabbit sort of jumps out onto the track that this tiger's walking on and starts running towards him, and starts running towards the tiger. The tiger gets surprised and stares at him for a while and wondering what he should do, whether he should try and, like, the tiger happens to be really thirsty and he can't find the closest stream, so he considers stopping the rabbit and asking for directions to the closest stream. And that's all I got up to. It was a story which I haven't finished. I just got up to there and realized I'd written enough, and then just basically said, you know, to be continued, and
so
sent that in. Sorry,
go
in.
You wrote this all in Japanese, and then you got Japanese people to look at it?
Yeah, that's right. So it was all in Japanese, and you know, with obviously the idea of the website is that they correct your mistakes. Japanese people, native speakers, correcting your mistakes, and they did that perfectly. I mean, as I said, I submitted it all in Japanese and everything, and then within 40 minutes or so, I got all of these corrections back. I don't mean that I got them back because, you know, so quickly, because it was so full of. It was so full of errors or something. I mean, it had its problems, but I was amazed at how quickly people actually got onto it and corrected it. I thought maybe the problem with the service would be that nobody wants to correct anything and everybody wants to submit things, you know, and so you've just got this massive pile of uncorrected work sitting around. But it seems as though, from my experience of it, that's actually not the case. People are pretty happy to correct things. I guess it's a sort of system where they correct it, and then, you know, they say nice job, and you'll get all a nice warm fuzzy feeling, and you'll add them as a friend, and suddenly you've got like a kind of a buddy that you can rely on to correct your work, and you'll correct theirs out of a sense of obligation and stuff, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I mean, it's good.
So it's like an exchange?
Yeah. Well, it could be an exchange is what I'm saying. I'm saying that's, I guess that's probably a natural direction that it goes in.
If you don't do anything at all, like if you don't correct anyone's English, is there like some kind of ranking system or some kind of system that would not allow your post to be seen by the other users?
It's seen, but it appears lower on the sort of bulletin board, lower on the new post board.
The users are mainly like Japanese and English speakers.
I'm not sure about that, but there seems to be a huge amount of both English speakers and Japanese speakers, which are the only two languages I'm interested in at this moment. So, I mean, I'm sure there's probably lots of Spanish people out there correcting work in Spanish and whatnot too. But I, but it was as far as Japanese people, I mean, yeah, there was a lot. And so a couple of days after, on Tuesday of yesterday, I wrote and submitted another piece. There was a dialogue between two characters, and that was equally well received. I got lots and lots of feedback, lots of comments about that pretty quickly too. And there seems to be all sorts of things going on. Like, some people write more like a dialogue style. Some people take it like, maybe a news post that they've seen. If you don't want to be creative, you might actually take sort of a news post or something. You click and you copy and paste it, and then and then you start translating it, trying to translate it, and then you can submit that translation and then just check it. Not You might not check it against the original, like, or it. I guess you can probably submit the original as well. I'm not sure about copyright on that, but I guess you can actually put them both back to back, sort of thing, for the for the case of sort of just for comparison's sake. But I think people are often checking the the natural, how natural it sounds, how natural the English or the sort of the target language sounds, And so there seems to be a lot of people doing that. Some other people who are doing things like writing poetry in a target language. Some people are, yeah, well, they're just writing, yeah. There was a few in there that I read which were, yeah. I mean, good on them, yeah. There was some other stuff in there that I saw. I chose to write more, I don't know, kind of cute, sort of slightly funny, little heartwarming stories involving
Sounds
animals.
like something that could be used as like a children's story, something that could be put in a children's book. That's cool. That's a good way to start writing, I think.
Well, it just seems to be, since it's so responsive, since there seems to be so many eager correctors out there, I just can't believe it. I just expected everyone to be more like me and just be more like, oh, I don't want to correct things. Why would I do that? And just be a bastard about the whole thing. There seems to be lots of people genuinely who want to help, and they've somehow congregated on this website, and then they've yeah, and they're really, kind of, they've got lots of, they don't normally have comments per se. They can have comments. They might just say, oh, good work or something, but normally, they seem to be pretty thorough with their corrections. I mean, they're correcting, typical for Japanese, they're correcting mostly for me, just things like particles and I might have accidentally written something with the first character in katakana instead of hiragana or something like that, just, as a freak accident or
Have you
something
ever
along those
thought of
lines.
like
But
posting something from like a novel, like some kind of famous novel, like a Japanese novel, and then posting it on there just to see their reaction, just testing them to see like, oh, how's my Japanese guys? Something really obvious, like the latest, like Murakami or something.
No, but I have considered saying that I want to learn that the I'm Japanese and I want to learn English, and then posting something in just fluent English and seeing if any corrections come back.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
Awesome.
I had that thought. Of course, I'm not going to do it, but anyway, it's very good for a number of reasons. One is that it's a good way to connect with other people, which is, always a good thing. Two, it's a really good way of practicing vocab that you might have been seeing over and over and over and over and over again in Anki, but which, for whatever reason, maybe it didn't stick, it hasn't been sticking very well. So hey, just throw it in an article. Like, try and get it in a, I think they call it a, like a post in is part of your journal or something. But they just just throw it in a post, or you could just it doesn't even have to be a word which you're having trouble with. It could just be, phrases or something which you've taken a particular liking to, or that you think it would be funny if you put those in in a, you know, which was my thing. For if I take, you know, an idea like a walrus, and what would a walrus be worried about that would be funny to me? And then I just thought, well, it might be funny if a walrus is worried about taking an interview because he has to use lots of Kegel. And then so I just thought, well, that's what I should write a little thing about. And so I haven't submitted it yet, but there's two walruses having a conversation about taking an interview and having to use Kegel. And one of the walruses is really sort of downhearted and worried about the whole thing. And so the and so anyway, like, it's just a good way of practicing, and it's kind of fun. It's really sort of as fun or as funny or whatever it is you try and make it be and try and make it. So anyway, that's the new thing. I just thought, what a great way to, you know, try and get creative with the language learning. I mean, that's cool, right?
Yeah, I've been hearing about Lang 8 for probably over 5 years now. Like, a lot of people talk about it. Like, when you're like searching online for resources or, you know, different ways to learn Japanese, like, a lot of people mention Lang 8. I never invested any time into it. I just knew the name, but it came up quite a few times. And I knew some Japanese people that use it as well, like people that I know, like, in person. Yeah, so it seems to be like a really good and well-known resource.
It seems to be that if, like, it's one of those things that you think, okay, logically, you know, like, take books, okay, take like in Japanese books. If I read, you know, 100 books in Japanese, like 100 novels, I mean, obviously that's a momentous task. But if I read 100 novels, then I'm gonna, by the end of that 100th novel, I'm gonna be pretty super amazing in Japanese. Like, I'm gonna know so much because I have just read 100 books. I mean, I'm sure most people haven't read many more, or possibly even less than 100 books in English in their whole life. You know? And so I mean, particularly for Australians, and similarly, if you just think of this Lang 8 website, if you just write these little blog posts and you write, say, 200, 300 of those, which, you know, that once again seems like a huge amount of work, but you write 200 or 300 of these entries, at the end of that, it's so obvious. There's no magic to the learning the language anymore. It just seems like a cold, just math. It's just mathematics at that point. If I do 300 of these, I'm gonna have learned something, probably a lot more than something. I'm going to have learned a lot through that process.
Yeah,
And so,
it's. Sorry, go ahead.
no, I don't know where I was going to. Just please speak.
I just wanted to say, yeah, it's definitely better than what some people do. I noticed English speakers do it, and Japanese speakers do it a lot too. They'll do like a blog post or like a post on Facebook, or they'll tweet in their language of study, like their target language. And like, it could be like a Japanese person with 200 followers, and all of their followers are Japanese, but for some reason they're posting in like broken English. Like, I just think there's no benefit into that, because the people who are reading it, even if they know what you're writing is, you know, really poor English, they're not going to correct it.
And
And
it
it's the
doesn't
same with
even.
English speakers. Like, they might post something on Facebook in Japanese because they have a few Japanese friends in their friends list. But like, most people, they're not going to correct their Japanese, like, even if there are mistakes, like even really obvious mistakes, because, you know, it's kind of, you know, it might be embarrassing to do that or awkward to bring it up. So, you're just kind of like reinforcing bad habits. I'll admit, like, when I first started studying Japanese, I did like kind of post some stuff in Japanese sometimes just to kind of show off or whatever. Like, hey, look, I'm using Japanese. But, that kind of got old really quickly. I just decided, like, not to do that. Like, if I have something to communicate, something important to say in Japanese, I'll do it. But I'm not gonna exert myself in trying to express myself in Japanese, like using structures or language that I'm not familiar with. I just think it, it's a bad cycle.
Yeah, I don't even really. I mean, I would just never do that to begin with because I mean, on things like Facebook, when I used to use it, I couldn't even stand posting anything in English. I mean, it's because it just feels like, well, then it's open to all the ridiculous interpretations that anyone's stupid brain puts on it, you know? Like, even if it just says, I'm going to this place at this time, it's like, yeah, but, maybe, like, I don't know, like, maybe they're gonna question me on that. Or maybe they're gonna, maybe, like, I've just signed myself up to having to go there now. And it puts all this pressure on me. So, like, I don't really wanna, put my foot down on something so permanently. And so, I don't know why I'd wanna, I mean, that sounds sort of very neurotic and silly, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but as far as writing in another language, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine why anyone would post in a different language and then sort of, but they're just posting in another language without sort of any purpose, especially as you said, they don't have any, for instance, Japanese friends or something, and they haven't actually exclusively said, please correct my work. And if they are going to say, please correct my work, I would always just seem to go for, oh, well, maybe you should have just sent it in an email to like a select number of people then. And had it be like, unless all of your friends are Japanese and you're the only foreigner and all of your friends on Facebook are all Japanese, then that might make sense because it's basically the equivalent of sending it on an email. But having that, your buddy Shane or something is going to open up his Facebook and see some dumb fucking message from you in a different language, and he has to go like, and then they might comment on that saying like, "Ooh, he wrote Japanese," and you might get some praise or something for it. Oh, the whole thing just sounds so stupid and selfish and self-centered,
Yeah, I think language 8. Is it language 8 or just lang 8?
I guess it stands for language. Yeah, it's. I guess it stands for language 8, but it's just Lange.
Yeah, like I
I'm
think they
guessing
really
maybe
tackle
because
that
it,
problem really well.
and of course it has like a kind of a, as far as I can tell, it has a private sending system as well. I'm not really sure how common or popular that is. At the moment, I don't really feel bad about anyone really looking at my work if they're Japanese because that's what the very purpose of the site is. So there's no like illusion that some English speaking guy is going to comment like, "Ooh, what did you write this for?" That's never going to happen because unless he's actually specifically quoting or just specifically talking about my Japanese language ability or something. Like unless his next sentence is, "You should never write huzu or something like that in this kind of sentence." I mean, yeah, you don't get any of that. It's made for the purpose of that kind of exchange, for that sort of language exchange. But it seems to be just like Anki, like I said at the top, that it seems to be pretty much one of those things you get out what you put into it. It's just a matter of, it's like a lot of things when you're learning languages, you tend to kind of know deep down most of the time, what you should be doing, and most of the time, or a lot of the time for me, I'm just not doing those things. And the difference between the people who kind of make it, so to speak, as far as like learning a language to fluency, and the people who don't, are the people who just do the things that they know that they should be doing more often.
That's some motivational talk right there.
I'm just saying that, like, you know, for example, if Butterson said, right, and I don't mean to talk down to him or to say anything negative about him or something. He recently had a test, right? He recently had a test, like an English test,
Yes.
and he was really worried about it. He seemed really worried about it, and I said to him repeatedly, please, if you have any questions at all, I'm very, very happy to help. Like, look how busy I am. I mean, I'm pretty much wide open if you want to sit down with me for an hour and talk about any issues that you have. And I explained that to him, you know, probably 3 or 4 times. And he never came. He never came to me and asked for any help. And then I asked him after the holidays, how did it go? And he said, oh, no good. Kind of like, don't talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't blame him, you know, it's a really hard test, and I'm not saying anything bad about him, because that's the exact situation I'm often in, where I just don't do the things that I know that I could and should do. But if he just swallowed that pride a little bit, or he just took the opportunity and used us, or just me, or just you, he might have passed, you know? Like, he might have, if he
I
had
don't think
gone,
so. I don't think I
well.
would have been able to pass that test.
Well, yeah,
You
I
saw
mean,
the
yeah, there was,
questions in that thing.
yeah, it was very hard. But I'm saying, you know, like, if he really imagined it like a Rocky montage, and like he just put it in his all sort of thing, and had this, you know, constant theme song playing in his head, and made a point of, like, you know, booking in a time, like, Nick, I'm booking you in for 2 o'clock, you know, Thursday, we are doing this. Yeah, I've got a bunch of sentences which are, you know, killing me. And he really tried to push it. I don't know, he might have learnt more, you know. But we often just don't. We collectively as people often just don't do what we know that we should. I mean, people are often looking for magic pills, and they're often looking for magic bullets and things like that to learn a language. But I think in most cases, people know what they should be doing, and they don't because it's hard, and they don't because it's, like, maybe embarrassing, or because it's humiliating or demeaning in some way, you know?
Yeah. But,
Yeah.
oh well, that's life.
Yeah. That's right. That was a rant. Jeez.
Yeah, it's cool though.
Yeah. So how about you? How's study going for you?
Well, the only thing new for me is I recently started changing where I study. You know that I'm an avid Anki user. Like, I use Anki just about every day. Like, I'm always inputting new cards and I'm always reviewing cards. I was always using the desktop version on the OS X on a Mac. And just because I really love the app so much, I was thinking about donating some money to the developers or the creators. I think what's his name again? It's Damien Elms.
Damien Elms, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to, donate some money just to give thanks. But then I just decided, well, I have an iOS device. I'll just buy the iOS version of Anki. I'll probably never use it, but I'll just buy it and, it'll give good stats to his app and I'll write a good review for it. So hopefully people will, other people will see that and buy it, and it'll contribute to his well-being or it'll contribute to the
Yeah.
project.
Yeah.
So just I just started, using it, just testing it, just kind of playing around with it, and I kind of really got into it just having like a really small device to review cards. And I could use it basically anywhere. Like, I wouldn't have to carry my laptop if I wanted to study. And I had a really, well, I think it was a good idea. But you know how I hate being inside. Like, I like being outside. I really want to go outdoors. Like, I prefer to sleep outdoors in most cases. But anyway, like, just working indoors and then studying indoors, it was giving me the shakes. Like, I wanted to just, like, do something active, just like run or sprint or maybe like jump out a window or something. I was getting stressed out from being indoors so much. But after I got the iOS version of the app, I decided to just, go for a walk and then maybe sit down on a bench at a park and just study there outdoors. And I just did that for a bit and I really enjoyed it. And then I kind of got another idea. Just I've been watching some things on YouTube, people that use like a treadmill desk. Like a stand-up desk is obviously better than a sit-down desk, but a treadmill desk is even better than a stand-up desk. So I was thinking, why don't I just walk and study? Like I'll walk around the park. Like there's a nice trail at the park. It's a wooded area, lots of trees, lots of greenery. Not too many people walking around, and it's not like a really narrow path, so you don't have to pay really careful attention. Like you can walk with some freedom. So I just decided to like study while walking around the park, and wow, like it just felt so productive. Like I was studying and learning, and I was exercising at the same time. And at the end of like an hour session, like just going over my cards for about an hour, I just felt great. Like my mind felt fresh and my body felt fresh. Usually, like if I'm studying on the desktop version of the app, like by the end of, even 30 minutes, I feel like, just, going for a walk outside or just doing something active. I feel like my shoulders are all tight and I just feel like my posture's deteriorating just from all this sitting time or all this time in front of a computer screen. But just walking and being conscious of your posture outdoors and studying at the same time, it was just a really, really good experience. So I think from now on, when I want to review cards, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk around the park. I'm going to be that guy at the park that everybody thinks, what a douche, He
What the
keeps like
fuck's he
tech,
doing on his
yeah.
phone?
Well, why is he like texting people, or like why is he like checking like videos on YouTube as he walks around the park? Why doesn't he just enjoy the scenery? What a fucking idiot. But no, I'm actually studying. I'm being productive and, being active and, developing myself mentally and physically at the same time. I just think it's, it was a really, it was an idea that I had and it was just by coincidence, and I think, I'm going to be a lot more productive with study from now on.
I
Just
don't know
thanks
if
to
you've
the
been.
iOS app. All thanks to that.
I don't know if you've experienced this yet, but I find, for instance, if I happen to be going to Nagoya or something like that on the train, I would sit on the train and Anki Study, which on the desktop app would normally take me, I don't know, an hour at least, like maybe an hour and 20 minutes. I get to Nagoya and I've only like I've done. I finish 5 or even 10 minutes before I arrived, and it's only like a 40-minute trip, 45-minute trip, And so, yeah, I find that often when I'm using the mobile app, for some reason, I don't know, something about being on the train and just looking over the thing, and that's all I have on this train. Is the movement of the world going by, and then this like this little screen. So much effort to get out of that app and go into a different one, and really it takes kind of. And I don't have any internet because I'm on the train, and so I just I find that I can normally concentrate on it, really just with a lot of concentration
You
and just.
mean you don't have internet because you're using an iPod Touch, right?
Well, yeah, do you get using what you've got, do you get internet on the train, or is it because it's moving you don't get internet?
I'm using a cell phone, so like, I have a 3G connection, so
Oh
it's
yeah.
internet. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Get with the
Yeah, no,
times.
yeah, I know. I'm very far behind. I'm very far behind. So I tend to think if something is moving, then you can't have internet. Like internet basically has to be like a cable.
This train is too fast for the internet.
Or like, I don't really understand. Like, you must have like a really long cable stretching from home. Like when you're catching up, when you're going on the train to be able to use the internet. That's the way I think about it. But the in any case, maybe, it's a blessing that I don't have the internet unless I'm sort of picking up Wi-Fi at home. It's yeah, I don't have the internet because it just means I can normally study in. It seems like almost half the time. So yeah, I think you'll find that in the coming weeks when you sit down on a park bench or something like that to do Anki outside, the change of scenery and the change of the like the medium, if you will actually I think greatly change the actual time it takes and the concentration that you're able to put into doing it.
Yeah, for sure. And the fresh air. It's just
Yeah.
wonderful.
That's right.
Okay, we're gonna cut the show here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you next time on Guys Learning Japanese.